Grateful that we have all been given the tremendous gift of life throughout the weekend. We come now to Monday, and what I am sure is or has been a busy day for you. Likely, you do not quite remember where we were when we left off on Friday, and so I want to begin today by reminding you of that, and then I'll wrap up my comments on verse 18 of Revelation chapter 1. In our ongoing quest to know who God is, we've been walking through the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, for several weeks now, verse by verse, and always answering the question before us, what does God look like in Christ? We said God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are spiritual beings, invisible. But God the Son, Jesus Christ, is both a spiritual and a physical being. He was seen and he will be seen, visible. Therefore, if we want to know what God looks like, then we look to none other than Jesus. And that's what we have done from within the pages of the 20 verses of Revelation chapter 1. And that's brought us to this point today in verse 18, part B, the second section of the verse. And we read, I have the keys of death and of Hades. The I here is Jesus Christ, and Christ has the keys of death and of Hades. And last week we talked about death and Hades, and I said quite a bit in some detail about where Hades is, what it is to experience Hades, and who is going to Hades when they die. And yes, I know I packed in quite a bit on last Thursday and Friday. So if you have any lingering questions or comments on that, please do not think those questions or comments insignificant. No. Instead, please drop me a note and tell me what's on your mind. The email is mark@markaeswallow.com, and the mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And those will be repeated later today. As you know, I place a high value on interaction and engagement with you. If this is continually like a one-way street in which I'm always the one speaking to you, that's not totally satisfying for either of us. So voice your inquiries, insights, and disagreements with me. All you have to do to get a hold of me is write an email or snail mail over a note. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be pretty or have proper punctuation or be lengthy. Just spill out what's going on in that precious mind of yours. Tell me about it. Will you do so today? Following on what we talked about last week, I now need to make this connection in the biblical text. What does it mean that Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades? That question I'll ask today. And so, what does it mean that Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades? And here is the Bible's answer. Jesus Christ has all power and all authority over the domains of death and of hell. Jesus uses his keys that only he has to unlock the door of death and send you and I through it whenever and however he wants. I could put it to you this way. Christ decides who gets to live and who gets to die. He is the sovereign decider. Contrary to the way in which most people live, particularly the younger you are, we do not decide when we were born and when we will die. God does, period. Now, you might say, what about suicide? Well, in the always tragic case of suicide, that is the sinful choice that someone has made. Suicide is always completely against the commands of God. Suicide is never the desire of God. Never. But even that would ultimately be what God knows that individual will do, because God knows everything. So in that sense, the date and times of one death is predetermined within the sovereign will of God. And I hesitate to leave the subject of suicide with only a few sentences, but I want to keep us focused on this. Jesus Christ has all power and all authority over death. So, should you want to discuss this important reality of suicide, get a hold of me today. Email me, send your letter, send your note. Why don't you begin now? Just jot down a little outline of what you'd like to say to me as I continue to talk, and then drop that in the mail to me when this broadcast ends. The biblical text stands as truth. When Jesus tells the Apostle John, I have the keys of death and of Hades. Christ means I'm in charge of who lives and for how long and when each and every person dies. And then I, Jesus, have total authority over where someone spends eternity, the afterlife, either in Hades that becomes hell or in heaven that becomes the new heaven. And we discussed that last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. When will the Lord Jesus use his keys to unlock the physical door of death for you? You do not know. It could be today. It could be before this broadcast or podcast ends. When will Jesus unlock the door of physical death for me? I do not know either. But what we do know, based on Revelation 1 verse 18, is that Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And that is actually all we need to know. As we get to know our Lord, then we come to find out that it's always enough for us. Jesus satisfies us, that he knows all. Christ knows everything, even when we will pass from here to there, from here to him. But there's one other thrilling reality to this verse, and that's this. You may think that Satan, the evil presence and power of the devil, is the one who has authority or is in charge over death. After all, death entered the world through sin. If it had not been for sin, we would never have to die. That's true. The Bible teaches that. Death is the result of sin. And since sin entered the garden via the serpent, the devil, then wouldn't Satan have the keys to death and to Hades? Would it be on your mind that maybe Satan is actually the one with the control? Well, should you be wondering, that is not so. And it is not so because Jesus Christ has defeated death. The Lord, through his death on the cross, has overcome the threat of death, even as a result of sin, for us. Hear now the words of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14b through 15. This is Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14b through 15. Therefore, through death, Jesus Christ might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Let me read that for you again on a busy Monday. Let your mind get a hold of this and meditate on it a bit. This is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14b through 15. Therefore, through death, Jesus Christ might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who, through fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. Now, this right there is why Christians do not fear death, or must not fear death. Jesus has rendered the devil powerless. Jesus has completely erased the fear of dying from his people. We are no longer subjected to this slavery in our lives. Because Jesus Christ took our place and died, we no longer experience the threat of physical death because we are not ever going to experience spiritual death. We no longer experience the threat of physical death because we are not going to ever experience spiritual death. The sins of every genuine Christian, All our sins are forgiven and no longer even remembered by God. So Satan does not have the keys of death and of Hades. Jesus does. This is the message of the final verse we will look at in this stunning chapter that comes at the end of the Bible. Revelation 1:18. The greater threat to all people is not actually physical death, when your heart permanently stops pumping. Rather, the greatest threat to you is spiritual death, eternal separation from God in hell. Now that is what you have to be worried about. But if you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then he will save you from hell. He will redeem you such that you are his, permanently, forever and forever. Really, Jesus has made Satan powerless. He's taken the power of death from Satan. Jesus holds the keys. And so if you have faith in Christ, you no longer need to be a slave to death. You do not need to be frightened of dying. I want to underscore this with you today. You do not need to fear death if you are a genuine Christian person. Oh, how I pray that you will accept to be true what Christ is offering you this week. And I hope with all my being that Revelation 1 will allow you to see what God looks like because you find who God is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come now at the end of our journey through just this one chapter of your holy and infallible, your perfect in every way word to our minds and to our hearts and out to our hands and to our feet. Thank you for being our constant companion. Thank you for traveling ahead of us and with us and now coming behind us. I pray that what I have shared here day after day has been right and true and profitable for the building up of your believers and for drawing unbelievers to you by faith, by their belief in Jesus. I pray that you'll continue your ministry of saving people from sin today and every day, and that you will use this ministry, God is, and other ministries on the internet and on the radio for this purpose. I pray this in the name of the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It is good that the Lord both hears our prayers and, of course, always answers them. And my friends, I submit Revelation chapter 1 to you. And starting tomorrow, we're going to move on into other books and chapters and verses of the Bible. But I want to encourage you to continue reading in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's an awesome book. And sometime in the future, we will come back to it and study more of it together right here on God Is. But when you come back tomorrow, which I hope you will, why don't you invite someone to join you? Get a hold of a family member, a spouse, one of your children, a grandchild perhaps, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent. Why don't you get a hold of a colleague or a friend of yours and invite them to be with us as we move on? When you come back tomorrow, I'm going to tell you what's up next for us. I'll leave it as a bit of a secret for today, just to whet your appetite. But then I look forward to having you and others back tomorrow, right here at this same time on this same station, for God is.